Okay, next question. That was when. Now, where? Where is the great tribulation? Verse 15 and 16. Anybody got that? Anybody want to read for them? You there, Pastor Joe?
So when you see the abomination of desolation.
All right. Okay, one real quick. When you see, imagine if Jesus is not talking to them, if he's talking to some future people. Imagine the response, you know, when you see, not you, you know, some future mysterious thing. Imagine when you see it, honestly, to say that this generation is not that generation makes no grammatical sense. When you see, and he says the abomination of desolation, referring to Daniel chapter 9, so that you can take that phrase and plug it into the timeline of Daniel chapter 9 and see when the 70th week is occurring. That is, in that generation. When you see with your eyeballs the abomination of desolation, if you remember in Daniel chapter 9, what is the abomination of desolation? Who's going to cause that? That prince that's coming to destroy. All right. So study all that later on your own, and we'll keep doing it. But when you see, Pastor Joe, the rest of 15 and 16...
So when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains.
Okay. This is so important for the first century church, because judgment was coming. And who were all the Christians in the first century? They were all Jews. Remember Pentecost right in Jerusalem. Jesus is telling them before he dies and he's raised up, let me tell you what's going to happen there. When are these things going to happen? He doesn't want his baby little church to be destroyed and caught in Jerusalem. And if you know anything about the siege of Jerusalem, it came suddenly, like out of nowhere. And it was one of the worst grotesque things that ever happened in the history of mankind. You can read all about it in the Josephus's book entitled Wars, or the Jewish Wars. He didn't want them to be trapped. He wanted them to understand what was coming. The desolation which was determined in the book of Daniel chapter 9 was about to show up. And so he says, when you see that abomination of desolation doing what? Standing. Who stands? People stand. Standing where? In the sanctuary, in the temple. That one that he talked about, that prince of the people to come. When you see that, what should you do? With your feet, you can escape the great tribulation on foot, right? It was local. It could be escaped on foot. And where were they to escape to? The rapture? No, they weren't going to escape with a rapture. They were going to escape on their feet to out of town into the hills, right? Go run off into the forest in the hills like Robin Hood and his merry men of, you know, get out of here. All right, let's keep reading.
Let the one who is on the housetop not go down to take what is in his house. Let the one who is in the field not turn back to take his cloak. And alas, for women who are pregnant and for those who are nursing infants in those days, pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been from the beginning of the world until now. No, it never will be. And if those days had not been cut short, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days would be cut short.
All right. So if you're on the rooftop and that prince comes and stands in the temple, don't go pack your bags. You know, just leave without stuff and hope it's not winter. Right. Flee up into the hills. What are some other where is the great tribulation according to this text? In the Judea. It's local. It's local tribulation that can be escaped on foot. Vespasian. Is it Titus or Vespasian? Who is the daddy? He's the daddy, yeah. Vespasian. Yeah. The emperor. Now, when you're going to have to go to the text, the Greek yourself, because depending on your translation, they either agree with me or disagree with me. If a translation believes that this is the great tribulation which would come on the entire world in the future, they're going to translate things a certain way. You can look at the phrases and see what they mean yourself. Does it mean all of mankind? Or does it mean the people in that region? You know, does it mean all the elect of God for all generations in time? Or does it mean God's little elect church right there? You can study out those words and see. What you want to do is just look at that word and see how it's used throughout the rest of Matthew. I take it that Matthew was written and compiled and spread around so that the reader would understand. It's coming. Get ready. Guess who didn't believe any of this nonsense? Those who believed in false messiahs. Those who believed that, you know, because they were the genetic race of the Jews, that they were unstoppable and untouchable, rebelled and fought against Rome and stood inside of Rome, fighting. But Jesus, like Jeremiah, said, "You stand no chance. Get out of here." If you remember the context of Jeremiah telling the Jews, "Don't fight Babylon, judgment's coming." And they threw him in a cistern for that. One of the things the book of Matthew is trying to make. If the Great Tribulation is in the future, right? Now, remember the Great Tribulation, that phrase we get from those verses that Pastor Joe just read, that Great Tribulation. If it's in the future, there must be another future temple in Judea. This major necessity of the futurist position is nowhere spoken of in the Bible. So that would be my assertion, that there's no text in anywhere in the scriptures that says after the one in Jerusalem is destroyed, that there would be another one built, that they're going to tear down the Dome of the Rock, I guess, and build up another one. I suppose maybe there will be one. I don't know. But there's no text in scripture that says there's going to be some future temple thousands and thousands of years later. Let's go ahead and look at Luke chapter 21, verses 20 through 23. by the way, Matthew, Mark, and Luke talk about the Great Tribulation. They give their versions of the Olivet Discourse. John doesn't, which is interesting. Why John doesn't is interesting. Many people believe that the book of Revelation is John's Olivet. So I think that there's some validity to that. Luke chapter 21, verses 20 through 23. If someone could just read this description of the Great Tribulation.
"But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation has come near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let those who are inside the city depart. And let not those who are out of the country enter it. For these are the days of vengeance to fulfill all that is written. Alas for women who are pregnant and for those who are nursing infants. For there will be great distress upon the earth and wrath against his people. They will fall by the edge of the sword and be led captive among all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled."
Okay. I can't imagine how else this can be taken. You read the book of Luke, all the Christians are reading it, and they read, "When you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies," and we know that that happened within that generation, right? That means that these prophecies are referring to that which occurred in that first century church. That if there's going to be some future craziness, and of course there are tribulations. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not talking about the general concept of tribulation. Jesus says, as long as you're in this world, you're going to have affliction. It's virtually the same word there. You're going to have trials and tribulations. The church grows very often by the blood of the martyrs. I'm not saying it's all roses from here out. I'm just saying that this concept of the Great Tribulation on the Jews in Jerusalem in the temple happened as a fulfillment of Old Testament prophets. It fulfills the passage in Deuteronomy of what will happen if you turn away from me. And it fulfills all of the other passages like the one we just read in Daniel. In chapter 23, verse 32 of Matthew, "This generation will fill up the wrath by persecuting Jesus' followers." Let's look at chapter 23, verse 34. What is it that causes that generation? Quote the scribes and the Pharisees of verse 22. To get the wrath. Chapter 23 of Matthew, the leading context going up into Olivet Discourse. Verse 34. Anybody have that real quick? Or what's verse 22? I'm trying to remember if I remember my verses right. What's 23, 22?
Well, 22 is whoever swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by his upon it.
Go to
woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill, cumin, and neglected the way your matters to you.
So we see the crowd he's talking to. Then he gets down into verse 34.
Therefore I send you prophets and wise men and scribes, some of whom you will kill and crucify, some you will flog in your synagogues and persecute from time to time.
All right. Remember, Jesus said to his disciples, you're going to go from city to city throughout all of Judea. If they reject you, what are you to do? Shake the dust off your feet and move on, because the gospel goes to the Jew first and then to the Greek. Just as the book of Acts tells us, it starts in Jerusalem and Judea, then to Samaria, then to the uttermost parts of the world. Why? Because the Messiah is fulfilling a covenant for 3.5 weeks with his people. That's the prophecy. So he stays in Jerusalem. He fulfills his covenant. He establishes the final administration of God's covenant, the new covenant, with the people of Israel. And as they go from city to city, as we know from the book of Acts, they keep beating them and persecuting them. Where? In the synagogues. See, this is the Jewish persecution of the first century Jewish church. The persecution is not the governments of this world and the European Union fighting the Jewish state in the future Great Tribulation. It is the Jewish hierarchy persecuting the Jewish Christians from town to town in their synagogues. That happened. That's the whole point of the book of Acts. It's laying out this prophecy, showing us what takes place. All right. Jesus, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Jesus' ministry on earth, from the baptism to the crucifixion. And then this is tricky, but I would say from Pentecost, Peter's sermon, to Cornelius, and the going forth of the gospel to the Gentiles would be the second 3.5. Right? The Jewish leadership reject the gospel, but you will remember what happened. Thousands and thousands and thousands of Jews believed the gospel and were gathered in from all corners of Judea. And in fact, gathered in from all the world, as the Bible prophesies, because they came in. Remember, on Pentecost, they were gathered in from all the nations on earth, which is a phrase that means the Roman world. Well, we got time. All right. Who is Jesus talking to in chapter 23? Well, we already did the scribes and Pharisees, the crowd. All right. D.A. Carson, who does not agree with me on everything, but some things. The word generation can only, with the greatest difficulty, be made to mean anything other than that generation living when Jesus spoke. Amen. Now, D.A. Carson is going to venture to a different interpretation halfway down chapter 24, but we'll get to all that in a little bit. Eusebius. Christ Church Academy kids? Huh? Catherine? Does that name bring back nightmares? Or she shudders at the sound of Eusebius. Yes, they read Eusebius' work. It's quite a doozy. And you finished in like 2 weeks, right? Or three? 4 weeks. I've been reading it since the beginning of the school year. I'm still working my way through it. But Eusebius quoting on Josephus, Josephus wrote the history of the Jewish people, especially those wars where Jerusalem was sieged. At last, the abomination of desolation, spoken of in Daniel, proclaimed by the prophets, stood in the very temple of God, the temple now awaiting its total and final destruction by fire. That's Josephus. He was alive during these events. And then Eusebius adds, it is fitting to add to these accounts of Josephus the true prediction of our Savior in which he foretold these very events. You know, so I'm just pointing out that, you know, I didn't make this stuff up. Eusebius, one of the earliest church historians, also understood that Jesus prophesied the destruction of the temple and that it happened. We don't have enough time, but we'll have to finish this up later. All right. All right. Well, y'all have a great Lord's Day and